As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Oh, hey there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into me choking on my own spit. Oh my god, this has started off very poorly. Oh my god, I'm dying. Finally.
We sit here and talk, like, before we ever start the show, we sit here and talk for like 5 minutes, and that's probably when we are the best at talking. And then we start the show, and it's like...
All downhill from here. Yeah. Nerd stuff, Brandon's for free.
Wait.
Hey. Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain.
But I am drinking a root beer, which is, you know, when you're trying to talk, I was going to say professionally, I don't get paid for this. When you try to talk semi-professionally or amateurly, what you'll learn in broadcast is that you shouldn't drink a fizzy drink. Right before you go on,
you drink two.
Just the burps. I got the burps. I will get the burps.
Yeah, if you could leave us a review about that about Brandon's burps, that'd be awesome. Now, if you could tell a friend or write a review if you're on Apple Podcasts or whatever, or just holler at us with your ideas when we wrap up each story. We're trying something new for these last few weeks. We want to know what you would get tattooed in response to a story that we have, based on the fact that both of us have gotten new ink recently and that we're obsessed. You've gotten a lot, actually. So
yeah, I was just trying to make my wife right in. So.
Let's just, well, you didn't need to do that now. Welcome to November. That feels weird to say, and I've had about enough of the freaking spiders. And turns out that specifically there's some people that are studying spiders and found out that they have better memories than we think. And I gotta say that I'm just really pumped for all the catch and release I've done my whole life, because if they can remember things, hopefully they're like, this guy's a real G, okay?
Right, yeah,
as opposed to my wife.
The sequel to Eight-Legged Freaks come out. They're going to come out and just be like biting the heads off of all of your neighbors. And they're going to look at you and be like, you're cool.
Yeah, hey, hi. And then they'll see my wife and be like, you killed Tony. There's obviously a spider named Tony.
Obviously, for that. Yeah.
Now, I had no idea that spiders, whose brains are designed for life on the web, and I'm not talking about like using your spider legs to touch yourself in weird places or whatever. I'm talking about for living in an actual web. They don't really see very much, despite having like really creepy, multifaceted eyes, yeah. Right? So instead, you can think more of their legs acting more like the same function as ears would be, sensing vibrations on the strings of the webs. I had no idea until I was reading about this at Wired.com, and it makes total sense that they would pick up on what's going on around them by riding the sound waves specifically. It sounds like a lot like a musical instrument, like the spider harp or whatever. And I'm like, can we make a new genre of metal called Black Widow metal? Because I'm sorry to make that joke, but that is awesome. Imagine what a Black Widow's scream sounds like if you could actually somehow make that into a capture that. It'd be awesome.
No, it's like, don't they do things like they like try to record the sound of the black hole, and all they do is they like take whatever, any sort of like audio that they get, like any sort of frequency, and then they have to amplify it a bajillion times, and then they have to then do it again in order to make it actually audible to the human ear. Like, why can't we do that? I mean, I don't know if I want to do that, but like, why can't we do that with spiders? Like, why can't we just be like, put a microphone next to a little spider and just say, "All right, bud. Hey, Tony, how you doing?" And he'd be like,
"Oh, he did."
Yeah, he'd be like, "Hey,
pretty boy got him." There's a hit out on her now.
I was just walking here, then this lady.
I was just freaking out her husband in the shower, and she came in and killed him. Yeah. Oh, no, not him. She didn't kill me.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
am I projecting, perhaps? Yeah, I want to actually record the sound of a spider taking a bite out of something or like slurping the bug guts out of something. Just like that crunch noise would be like super... I feel like it would be super duper satisfying. Just a big old chop would be.
I don't know. I feel like I sit next to I'll be laying in my bed and I'll hear my dog will sleep in there. I've got two dogs. One sleeps in the bed. She's the worst. And the other one sleeps on the ground. And he in the middle of the night, I'll just hear. And he's just licking his own nads, or where I guess where they used to be. And it's I'm one of those people where if like I'm sitting next to somebody who chews loudly, I don't just get like moderately annoyed. I get irritated. Like I will do what Pretty Lori does to Tony, and I will murder you.
I heard that that is a sign of repressed anger, that you're really carrying a lot of emotional baggage, and rather than getting rid of it, you just find little things that drive you crazy and then get super mad at people.
Oh, I didn't. I could have told you that.
So, also, I do want to hear the slurping, like our version of the like slurpee cup of the guts coming out.
Oh yeah! Oh no! Yeah,
that'd be so awesome. And then the burp, cool spider burp would be awesome. But more likely, what we could actually do to make it happen is we could send a musical signal through a spider web.
Oh yeah!
Right, and like. Play songs for spiders, and who knows what they're into. Oh, by the way, I've totally lost track of what the actual research was about, something about memory or some garbage. But if you could like put like Master of Puppets through a spider web, like does he start shredding halfway through? And then like how would it? You know, there was like I remember seeing a thing where they gave LSD to spiders, and then the webs that they made were like crazy because their spider brains can't handle manufactured drugs.
Right.
But that if you played a music, how would that affect him? And would they have any preference?
Mm.
Like, I want to know what a spider's favorite song is.
Oh, it's Spider-Man.
Ah! Chorus, right before it chomps into somebody, the chomp sound effect again. Do I have that still?
Maybe it's Alien Ant Farm.
I was thinking System of a Down spiders.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
They're also safe in the spider apocalypse.
Okay. You're cool.
Another one was No Doubt Spider Webs.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've actually
taken the
title.
Of course, it would be something that either I can't relate to at all, like from a, that uses a scale that I don't recognize from some sort of like Eastern music.
Sure, yeah.
Or it would be something, some garbage like Celine Dion or something like that.
Hey.
Or like favorite song is that Frozen song. And
come
I'm like,
on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what if it turns out the spider's favorite music is just like musical theater? They're just like really into like the Phantom of the Opera is here, and like the spiders just yeah man,
but they hate rapping, and so that they cannot stand Hamilton. It's like their least favorite musical.
This is the I don't want to disparage this person because they have since passed away, but there's a person who I know who I knew who I told them about Hamilton, and this is an older gentleman, and I told him about Hamilton, and he was like, "Oh, a musical about the founding fathers?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "I think you'd really like it." He's like, "Oh yeah, that sounds really interesting." Like, okay, So he starts to Google it at this pace of a spider wrapping a thing up in a cocoon or web or whatever. So it takes 10 minutes for him to like. I've moved on to something else at this point, and it takes 10 minutes, and he goes, "Huh." So it's all black people.
You're like, no way. The main guy is a Puerto Rican guy. Like,
yeah. And let's like, just say I don't think he ever was able to knock watching Hamilton off of his bucket list.
Well, that's too bad because it is lovely.
It is. It's great.
I really do. I've actually seen Hamilton a couple times and three times now. What a brag, right? But it was... It's so fun. It's good. Anyway, I don't know what a spider's favorite song would be, but hopefully it's not something super
weird.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good...
It's like Sublime is my favorite. Like, no, I've had enough.
Do you like that? Like, half of scientific experiments just come from scientists being like, what if we gave LSD to fill in the blank?
Like, how did they give 25-year-old me permission to do science? Who's responsible for that?
Like, well, we have all this LSD. What do we do with this? I don't know. Give it to a rat. No, so like, okay, so
have they done that?
I guarantee it. I feel like if it's like kind of like the internet, so if you can think of something, it's probably already been done on the internet. If you could think of something to give LSD to, it's already been given to them.
What's that called? Like Rule 34 or something or is that the boobs one?
I think that might be the boobs one.
Six of one, half dozen of the other, as I do the like scale thing where you do your hands up and down, but it looks like I'm just playing with boobs.
Six with two with half a dozen boobs.
Okay, I'm going to try something new to the show. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, ready? Hold on.
It's time for NASA news.
Did that work for you? Did you hear that?
I heard that.
Oh, man, it's time for NASA news. Okay, Brandon, I hope you didn't click it. I left specific instructions for you to not click this, okay? Okay. It's a headline, and if you could tell me how it could easily get pervy if you read it incorrectly as you click it now.
Yeah, clicking it right now. The headline says, NASA's lunar flashlight is ready to search for the moon's water ice.
Now, if you were reading it quickly and you were a pervert and you read flashlight, what else could it read as?
Yep.
NASA's space flashlight trying to entice thirsty aliens to the moon.
Let's find that water ice. Give me some LSD and a flashlight, and you'll see what I can find.
Wow, that was an oddly specific threat. Oh, wait. I screwed something up. We already messed it up. I want to go back real quick. We'll come back to the space flashlight. If you were going to get something related to spiders and, I guess, memory, like spiders and how they perceive their senses, what tattoo would you get?
So, you know the frog from the WB channel that's, hello, my lady, hello. So, a spider, but doing musical theater.
I once saw the Book of Mormon, and after the first song, like about, I don't know, 15 or 20 old people got up and walked out because they were like so offended already, and it was ding dong. It was amazing to see that. I want to see like a grumpy old spider like, I'm leaving Hamilton. Oh, it sucks. I'm trying to learn about the stupid humans founding fathers, but no.
Wait, he thought it was about the, what's the king spider in the one that like wraps Frodo up?
I'm terrified of that. So I think I would get a tattoo of a spider wrapping up. I like to think that there's these songs that we think are cool about spiders, but it's like when you go overseas and you talk to somebody about what you think their culture is, and they're like, no, that's pizza is an American thing. We make it here, but like you guys are crazy. Chicago-style pizza is an abomination or whatever, okay? I want the same thing, only with the spiders. You're like, hey, no doubt spider webs, huh? And they're like, get my rope, my silk. And I just want to, get a tattoo of a spider wrapping up Gwen Stefani, and then just like with his like straw stuck into her head.
Oh, sucking like her brains out.
yeah, just being like, we've had enough. No offense to Gwen Stefani, I'm sure she's lovely. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about anything actually, but it's just, I just want a spider.
Yeah.
She just seems, eating somebody. Okay.
Yeah, specifically Gwen Stefani though.
So I guess what they're doing on the moon is they're going to have a flashlight that's going to have a certain frequency. It's not an actual fleshlight or flashlight for aliens. Bone.
I guess they entertain in space somehow.
I just saw a headline somewhere. I can't find it off the top of my head right now, but this is kind of coincides with it, that there's only like a very small space on the far side of the moon that's going to be able to sustain the needs of humanity if we were to get there. And it's like something by like 30K by 70K or whatever. They're going to have to divide it all up for all these nations that are going up there so that we can preempt a war that would happen over rights of moonland or whatever it is. And so they're searching for more of it. And I think this flashlight is for doing that. The flashlight is what you do when you get bored in space and you don't have the appropriate number of genes around. Do you think they, like, I'm sure some horny teenagers asked an astronaut about this before, but like, what do you think the you know, the flogging the dolphin is like in space. Do you think that happens a lot? Do you think these astronauts, or do you think they're so rigid as military minds that they just can shut it down for 180 days while they're in space?
No, I feel like I've had this thought before, believe it or not. And
that's how you save on hair gel.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You don't have to send up hair gel that way. You can something about marry it.
That's why all the astronauts are bald. what did he no, so I thought about the fact that, like, it seems like most of the science that gets done in space is just giving LSD to astronauts. No.
Have they done that? Because that sounds awesome.
They have. I mean, like, yeah, they have to have done that, right? To, like, what?
Oh, that'd be,
like,
so cool.
Like, you know how they say, like, certain altitudes, right? Because of the air pressure and whatnot, like, taking, you know, drinking, you should get,
yeah,
you should, alcohol should have a more effect, a larger effect on you at a higher altitude. Like, so, like, do they, at one point, they're like, well, we need to see what it's like to get drunk in space. So,
yeah.
Or, so I'm assuming, like, naturally, because astronauts are human, they said, well, you have to, we need you to have sex up there because we need to see what it's like, I suppose. Or, like, we need
but
to figure out.
But it's all transparent.
Out.
They have to, like, disclose that stuff, right? They have, like, sure, there yeah. should be mission statements that say if that's happened or not. I just can't think of a time, and it's got to be the number one thing that I would be interested in is, like, when you do a push-in, you go flying off the cushion, right? Like,
well, yeah, so you have a Lieutenant, Corporal, Sergeant, whatever, I don't know, what, they're all military, right? But you have, like, okay, Lieutenant Marcus over there, and Lieutenant Sheila, and okay, so Carl's in the corner taking minutes for this experiment, and
minute, he's taking minute.
Actually, they do say, so, like, you should have, I don't know if this is true or not, but I would imagine you have a lower blood pressure in space. I would imagine, maybe it's a higher blood pressure.
Because, oh, thank God.
It'd probably be a higher blood pressure, you would think, because.
No, because I think your heart has to work less hard because there's no gravity pulling your blood down to your feet. So yeah. Your blood moves more easily back and forth through your body. So I'm guessing your blood pressure is probably diminished.
Interesting. Yeah. So, so lower blood pressure. Yeah, it probably only took about a minute.
Now I figured out how they do it. Okay. I already know how to do it in space. I'm so innovative. It's amazing.
Okay.
I'm really proud of myself too. What you do is you have hand and foot holds. Okay.
Yeah.
So the receiver is hand and foot holded onto the wall.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's call for this demonstration, that's Lieutenant Sheila.
Yeah, okay.
Holding onto the wall or Velcroed or something, right? And then Lieutenant Marcus gets, like, the belt off of your car that goes to make all the different things turn in it, you know, and they start squeaking when you leave it too long. He puts that around him and Lieutenant Sheila, and then when he bonks and goes flying back, it catches up and then whoa! Oh.
Whoa! It's like an aerobic, like an elastic band.
Yeah, exactly. And they can work on their shoulder mobility afterwards. It's
perfect.
It's a multi-purpose everything. NASA's got it figured out.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm obviously getting tattooed on me, or some sort of space fleshlight with a giant alien wiener. Yeah,
I feel like there's got to be again,
how come the space fleshlight is filled with tadpoles and, like, nope, those are aliens?
You feel like, don't you think, like, as humans, as even, like, the most high-minded folks, for the most part, have some sort of sexual desire, right? And so you would think that all of these, like, professional scientists and things like that, like, as much as they would hate to admit this, right? Like, of course, they get the rocket up to space and they get it up to space with people
inside of it. Get that rocket up. Woo! Yeah. You know what I mean?
We have a low blood pressure in this rocket. and they get it up to space. And you just have to imagine that even, like, these high-minded scientists went, like, yeah, but what if they boned, though?
Yeah, like, all the time.
Yeah.
That's all I think for this scenario. It sucks because it's usually, like, one or two women and then, like, four dudes from different countries. And it's, like, so... It's, like, the ratios aren't great, but...
It seems like it'd be irresponsible to get, like, pregnant in space.
I mean, not if it's for science.
Okay, fair enough.
Just the irresponsible part is taking the LSD after you've gotten pregnant.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? This is totally off subject, but it's space related, and it's about, you know, aliens boning fleshlights in space.
Okay.
You know, we have this like very certain view of what life is going to be like places, because we only know the way that we do it, right? We only know that like if you showed up to another planet, you're like, nothing's here, but it was covered with some sort of slime that like actually transmitted information and electricity in a way that we weren't familiar with, but instead we're just like, slime puddle, like, yeah, nuke it, let's go.
Yeah.
It's, we're so sure that there's going to be signs of consciousness or higher, I don't know what the word is for it, for the ability to actually like to be able to leave your planet is one of the tests, and to be able to communicate is another and stuff. But that's only by our measures. And I think it's so strange, because the chances that the way that we've done it happens again are like improbable, because it's like billions and billions of things have to go a certain way to get to where we are. But that doesn't mean that like so this all comes from James Webb Space Telescope is going to be able to look at like the nearest planets and try and figure out if there's any biosignatures in the atmospheres that would suggest some sort of life process similar to Earth is going on. But that's only looking for what we expect life to look like, which is the best you can do, I understand. But like, you're also going to be ruling out places that maybe have life that we don't understand there as we're searching around. It just blows my mind that we're so like, that we're so self-centered about how we'll discover things.
Related to this, I suppose there's a documentary I've heard of on Netflix right now, and it's they're discussing infinity. Like just the concept of infinity, and I guess it's, I haven't watched it, but the synopsis that I've heard is that basically these people, these like incredibly talented smart people who only think about sex and space, are sitting
there. Calling us incredibly smart people? All right. Yeah.
No, so these like scientists and philosophers basically are sitting there thinking about, you know, how to explain infinity. How do you like even conceptualize the term or the object of infinity? And they basically say the idea is that all of the particles that exist within the universe or within what we understand as the universe, infinity would suggest that at some point all of these particles will arrange and rearrange themselves in different ways so that anything is possible. The particles that make up your body in some point in the infinite future or infinite past will be the same particles that make up Barack Obama as, you know, the president of Russia in some other universe, in some other timeline.
Just whatever, right? You can imagine.
Literally anything you can imagine. Which brings me to the fact that I'm just hoping beyond hope, that this James Webb telescope looks deep into this planet that's orbiting like Alpha Centauri or whatever it is. And as it scopes down, it starts to pick up bio life signatures, and we all start to get really excited. And then the closer it gets, it's just a tap dancing, musical theater loving spider.
I think that Hamilton blows.
Oh, what? No, the spider's racist.
He's from Eastern Washington. Ah. Yeah, it's like the idea. I've heard Professor Brian Cox talk about this a little bit. That it's like, just whatever you can imagine, if the universe is truly infinite, you can just be like, oh, Mozart, but he sings out his ass.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's possible, yeah, because everything is infinite.
Have you seen that movie Everything Everywhere All at Once? The answer is no. I'm going to tell you that I know that the answer is no. But it's a movie that I think you would actually appreciate and enjoy.
Okay. I've already forgotten the name, so that's not a good
Everything
start.
Everywhere All at Once. It combines things that you love that I know you would like. It combines like multi-universal theory, and it also brings in a lot of kung fu. And it's very good. Yeah, so you should watch it. But there is one of these universes where you just said like Mozart singing out his butt, which Mozart didn't sing. I mean, maybe he did, but he like...
No, but I'm just saying, rather than composing, he just is
Everything that he's ever composed, he's actually just farting out his butt. There's one where the main character has hot dog fingers, and within the hot dog fingers is nacho cheese, and her partner sit there and like suck on each other's hot dog fingers and suck the nacho cheese out. And it probably sounds a lot like the spider sucking out Gwen Stefani's brains.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this is kind of like the entire premise of Rick and Morty also.
Yeah.
Like, it gets real messed up, especially when you can go between those things.
Yeah.
So, you have me really intrigued here. You wrote four words.
Yeah.
With no explanation whatsoever. And so, I don't know if I'm just supposed to say them and then we move on or what. Yeah. But the four words are leaf, sheep, sea, slug. And, well... Do we leave it at that, or is that just a tattoo idea you had? Just like, I'm going to want a leaf, and there's a sheep, and then there's a sea slug.
It's actually the MK Ultra code word that just activated the one listener that we have into killing somebody. Yeah, killing you. Leaf, sheep, sea, slug. Copy.
Must destroy Gregor.
So I was looking around at stories.
It's actually an alternate planet in an alternate universe in the infinite time scale. That is the type of tree that Brandon planted in his yard that his dog pees on.
So I'm going to send you a picture of these are an animal that has been discovered. So I guess like I realize after seeing it, this thing is posted on Nerdist about a week ago, and it says the headline says leaf sheep sea slugs are animals using photosynthesis and also Pokemon.
They're using Pokemon, these animals?
Yeah, they're using Pokemon. Yeah, no, they are using photosynthesis and they are also Pokemon. So I guess this is a creature of some sort. It's an animal of some sort that like I guess goes viral every few years because of how incredible it looks. So I'm going to send you it. Actually, I kind of want you to picture in your mind what a leaf sheep sea slug might look like.
Yeah, okay. It looks like a combination between a tardigrade,
yeah,
and like a furry caterpillar.
Okay, I would say that you're maybe like 30% of the way there. So here's the picture.
With really cool butt cheeks.
Yeah, okay, there it is. That was the remaining 70%. A very important distinct feature on this leaf sheep sea slug.
You're actually really close other than that, but the butt cheeks are so important.
But like, okay, so I just sent you this picture, and the thing about it is that it like
it's so cute.
It only lives on like off the coast of Japan. And it looks like a
cow drawn by Gary Larson of The Far Side.
Yeah, yeah.
Only if it was poking its head out from a shrub.
Yeah,
that also was covered in berries.
Yeah, it's exactly what it looks like. So, that's the best description I think that I could have thought of. And, like, the thing is that this thing naturally exists, or like its primary environment is off the coast of Japan. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, this explains so much of like why the Japanese create things like Pokemon, because they just naturally have animals and creatures like this in Japan. And so, like, they didn't have to think very hard about, like, oh, let's create a Bulbasaur. Oh, there it is.
First they ate it, and they were like, nope, let's make it into a Pokemon.
No, but, I mean, what is really cool is that this thing, the leaf sheep sea slug, which also sounds like a Wes Anderson film, leaf sheep sea slug, it uses photosynthesis. Like
it
converts light into energy, as in like food for itself, but it also will eat algae like with its mouth. And so it's an animal that can perform photosynthesis. And they, what do they say? They said, as I'm reading this, it says they use their heifer-like mouth to scour the surfaces that they crawl for algae and eat the algae.
Now, like cows, as they made reference to, when they poop, do magic mushrooms grow in the poops?
And then do we give those magic mushrooms to other animals to see what they do?
Specifically in space.
Yeah.
Yes is the answer.
Yeah, of
Brandon, course I would legit get a tattoo of just this creature. I would like
it's
legit.
It's such a cool, and people would be like, what is that fictional Pokemon that you just tattooed on yourself? And you'd be like, this is a real thing.
I just had an idea. What if at the end of the season, whatever that means, what if at the end of the season we had to go back, we should keep track of these, we never will, but we should keep track of some of the best ideas, and at the end of the season we have to go back and get one of these things tattooed on ourselves. Like one of these ideas, like whether it's Gwen Stefani getting her brain sucked out by a spider, or a leaf sheep sea slug, the LSSS. Because I would get that. It looks amazing.
It is such a cool, if you're listening right now, go Google this immediately, because leaf sheep.
I'll try to remember
slug.
To tweet it out too. That's if we can during as soon as I give me a second here, I'll do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to. What do you think we should do? Do you think we should talk about miniature?
Before this show, I told you about a story that I wanted to talk about, and you said that you were going to add another story, and then all of a sudden I'm sitting there looking at our run sheet, which is super high technical and also just a Google Drive sheet, and you posted the story that I wanted to talk about.
Just to bring people up to speed, what happens is every day for my regular radio show, I have a template, just a Google Doc, and I go in and fill it out, and then with like links and stuff like that, and then I go back and write all of it. And so it's the same with this show, where I take the stories that I've written for Nerd Talk and stuff, and I put them down, Brandon maybe throws a couple ideas in there, and then we react to the stories that I've already written and adapt them for a long form conversation. And so, well, there's a sheet waiting for Brandon, and he goes in and writes the four ominous words of my death, leaf sheep sea slug, on there, and the person that we have activated is now like, I'm not going to do it, you guys are so annoying, you keep saying it, that's enough. MK Ultra this. But then like you say, you were like, oh, I've got one more, and I was like, okay, me too, and I pasted it, and you're like, oh, that's exactly the story I was going to talk about. The nerds at MIT have created a miniature robot dog looking thing called the Mini Cheetah. I said cheetah weird, I don't know why, the Mini Cheetah, and they taught it to play soccer specifically as a goalkeeper is what they're looking at. They actually taught it to kick a ball too, but this is as a goalkeeper. The penalty kick save rate of this thing has now reached a level even better than the goalies in the richest soccer leagues in the world, the English Premier League, for instance, and it's pretty cool to see how it like processes and takes action so quickly. But before you get worried that Alison Becker of Liverpool gets replaced by a machine, a few things. One, it has a better than 80% save rate, like 86% save rate. That isn't with a Premier League person kicking the ball at a billion miles per hour, okay? That is with, like...
It's like, I don't know if they paid the children to take the penalty kicks. That sounds problematic. They had children take penalty kicks against this thing, and it saved something like 80, whatever it was, like 89% of them.
And it's all to scale because they make it so it like can cover the same amount of distances in a much smaller goal. And I don't think the ball is to scale, though, which is weird. But anyway, they're trying to prove a point that the computer brain is able to recognize the incoming threat and then neutralize it, which is, I mean, you can only see how the future of that gets applied when they sell it to the U.S. government.
Yeah, well, when they sell it to the Premier League, right? So so they're going to have, instead of having Alisson in goal, it's going to be this four-legged robotic mini cheetah, as you like to say. And it'll see a shot. A through ball will be played to apparently a robotic forward that can also do backflips off of things.
Of course.
Yeah. And it has a machine gun on its back for some reason. Uh-huh. So a through ball will get played
and
to this robotic.
And this is on the front lines of Ukraine and not in a soccer stadium and actually
yeah, exactly.
Bombs and rockets. Yeah, I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Go on. No, so a through ball gets played in a regular soccer match to a robotic forward. And this robotic forward is, you know, a step offside. And the VAR robot, the automated official that sees this happen, video assistant review is what that stands for, they look down and say he's offside. Well, then offside robot gets very upset with official robot, and goalkeeper robot decides to come out and plead their case that as the ball goes past them, that the goal should not count because it was offside. And so now
one of its four robot legs in the air, like no.
Yeah, yeah. And these three, and they're all yelling in Spanish. They're all yelling in Spanish for some reason. And they all of these three robots start fighting, and so then they're robotic teams. And this is how robotic wars between the robot start, and that's how our world ends.
The bad news for right now is that this robotic goalkeeper is still plugged in. So it's...
Okay. That seems like it's cheating.
It's basically, can this kitty cat stop this toddler?
In the 80th minute, he's through on goal. The goalkeeper, he comes out of this, no.
He's been unblocked. Goal. I like that it's like the Lions bot instead of the Lions, like the official, the Lions keeper bot or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like, at some point, it's going to get that way, right? Like I was watching the Formula One race and like, you know, three guys qualify 1, 2, 3 within like a hundredth of a second of each other. They drive like 2.5 miles in independent machinery and they get within a time that I can't stop on a stopwatch fast between one another.
Yeah.
Like at some point, in order to get closer racing than that, you're gonna have to have robots that have faster than human reflexes, and so
I've thought about this quite a bit to think like so we talk about like steroids in sports, right? About
yeah.
how like steroids, I mean, as much as you might disagree with them ethically, only one person.
And ethnically, I disagree with any kind of foreign steroids.
I heard they have fentanyl in them. Steroids, you might disagree with them ethically, and they are obviously bad for the bodies of the people who are ingesting them. At the same time, only one baseball player has ever hit the most home runs in a single season, and that person happened to be on steroids. So, like, the fact is that sports, the game itself, is made better by people on steroids. And
not if you're the pitcher, it's not.
Sure. But if the pitcher was on steroids, who knows what they might be able to do. So what I'm saying is, like, at some point, like to your point about racing, at some point, the best possible performance that you're going to be able to get out of a sport is by watching robots play against each other. I mean, take it all the way down to something as like chess, for instance, right? Like there's all of this debate about like people playing against chess robots and like, or chess AI, for instance. And like, what happens when you put two AI against each other who they all know, like both of these these machines are supposed to
How about a nice game of tic-tac-toe?
Oh, I mean, this ends up like, what's your movie that you love? War Games, right? Where it's the only way to win is not to play. Well, at some point, like when the stakes are just who wins in the F1 race.
Ally Sheedy's so hot in that movie. It's amazing.
Dude, would you have sex with her in space? sorry. So at some point, like, right, all these robots, like, the best possible
War Games, Ally Sheedy for sure, but
okay.
Sorry, not wife. Now. Yeah. No.
She's... Oh, you weren't married back then, though. So
yeah, exactly. I was 7.
Perfect. But so, I mean, like the game, the sports are going to be played to their best possible conclusion when they are all robots playing. But at the same time, it's like they're all supposed to be, and great, you take out the human element that makes sports fun, which is humans being able to screw up, right?
Yeah,
like,
the Buckner effect, yeah.
That's what makes sports unpredictable, is just the fact that like your favorite quarterback or your favorite pitcher can have a terrible day, even though they're the best in the league. They might have a bad day, which changes the result of the entire game. When you put in a machine that shouldn't be able to have that kind of hiccup, right? Or if you have AI that are racing in these machines and everything is the same, every result should be the same at the same time. And so that's what fascinates me, is that if you put two teams of the same type of robot against each other playing soccer or sports or whatever, like the result should be the same every time, but there's still going to be some unpredictability in it, right? And like that's like the quote unquote ghost in the machine. It's like fascinating to me to think about that, like someday it'll be more, like will it be more entertaining that to watch like machines play against each other than it would be to watch humans play against each other, when there may still be the opportunity for results to not be predictable, even if it's machines playing against each other. I don't know. Like we're not there yet, so it's like not worth spending your time thinking about, but we will be, right? Exactly.
Yeah. And it will be, there'll be a place for both, I think, because people still like baseball, and baseball is the worst. Like it's like so boring and slow, and there's so many games and no one cares, but then it comes down and it's on the line and like people really get up for their team and it's fun and it's tense and it's, you're looking the pressure for people to make those mistakes. And like you say, as opposed to just being like the margin was 1/1000 of a millimeter or whatever, and that's what decided the entire championship over the course of 9 months or whatever. And that sucks, but also there would be something really, it would bring its own level to it. And
well, it's like marginal gains, but all of a sudden those margins of marginal gains are even tighter, like infinitesimally small, right?
But I think we've talked about this before with like BattleBots on Nickelodeon, yeah, exactly, or whatever. And yeah, like you think that's gonna be awesome because they're just gonna smash the crap out of each other and you're gonna just have like carnage and fire, and maybe one shoots a rocket or there's lasers or like, I don't know, like acidic blood or something like that. But instead it's just like two wedges just running into each other until like one of them gets flipped over like a turtle and is like, I can't get up, and you're like, I win. And so at some point, it'll become so efficient that it'll be such stalemates until the tiniest of things happens. Whereas, with humans, like, you know, in hockey it happens a lot where you see boobs against the glass, and like, I don't care what level 22-year-old professional hockey player you are, at some point that's getting in your head if that's your thing, you know? And so like there's still that, you don't like put up like 8-bit boobs on the glass and the robot hockey player is like,
I must download.
Like, it's not like
the AOL like dial up queue starts playing in the middle. We all know what T-1000 is looking at.
Line at a time. It's like, So if you were gonna get a tattoo of a robot cheetah goalkeeper, what are you gonna get, buddy?
I think it's I'm getting R2-D2 putting his boobs up against the glass at a hockey game. What about you?
I'll have C-3PO on the ice with like ice skates on, but he'll be rubbing his nips with golden nipples. I don't think we should be allowed to do this show anymore. I don't know that this is safe at any point. All right, well, let's wrap this thing up. It's time for What Did We Learn This Week? After all, this is a very heady show. By heady, I mean nipply. We talked about robot nipples. We talked about robot alien nipples. Fleshlights. We talked about... What else did you learn this week, Brandon?
I actually did learn that I would love to be able to hear, as you called it, a cool spider burp.
It sounds so awesome. Like, how do you get a microphone sensitive enough to do that, but like focused enough that it doesn't pick up on me being like in the background?
Yeah, in the background. Like,
but it sounds like instead of that noise I just made, it's like, you're like, oh, I can't. It's like so amplified. Like,
yeah. Yeah. What did you learn this week?
Wow. I didn't realize that spiders were so racist, I guess, is one thing.
They hate the leaf sheep sea slug.
Oh, yeah. And I learned that I can do a decent description of something as long as it involves Gary Larson. Are you down to get a random tattoo based on this stupid show? Is that something you would do?
I mean, look at my forearm. Yes, I am.
From another podcast we do, we've got tattoos.
Yeah.
I think I owe my kid a service at some point when he's like threatening to get a tattoo to be mean to me. I'm going to send him down and be like, dude, here's the different canvases that you have on your body. Don't screw it up. If you're going to get a tattoo, don't waste it so you look like a dork.
Yeah, you have one shot. Yeah, for that spot on your body, you have one shot. Definitely a leaf sheep sea slug.
Every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., we stream live on the Odyssey app. Then get us on demand on the Odyssey app or the podcast provider of your choice. I'm Gregor. He's Brandon. Slugs out.
Slug for Harambe.
Slug life, baby.
Get your slugs out in space.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network.
Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm trying to, what do you think we should do? Do you think we should talk about miniature?
We, before this podcast, we started, or before this show, we started to, I told you about a story that I wanted to talk about, and you said that you were going to add another story, and then you, and then all of a sudden, I'm sitting there looking at our run sheet, which is super high technical, and also just a Google Drive sheet, and you posted the story that I wanted to talk about. So I think that
just,
we should
just to bring people up
that.
To speed, what happens is every day for my regular radio show, I have a template, just a Google Doc, and I go in and fill it out, and then with like links and stuff like that, and then I go back and write all of it. And so it's the same with this show, where I take the stories that I've written for Nerd Talk and stuff, and I put them down, maybe throws a couple ideas in there, and then we react to the stories that I've already written and adapt them for a long form conversation. And so, well, there's a sheet waiting for Brandon, and he goes in and puts just writes the four ominous words of my death, leaf, sheep, sea slug, on there, and the person that we have activated is now like, I'm not going to do it. You guys are so annoying. You keep saying it. That's enough. MK Ultra this. But then, yeah, like you say, you were like, oh, I've got one more, and I was like, okay, me too, and I pasted it, and you're like, oh, that's exactly the story I was going to talk about. The nerds at MIT have created a miniature robot dog-looking thing called the Mini Cheetah. I said cheetah weird. I don't know why. The Mini Cheetah, and they taught it to play soccer, specifically as a goalkeeper is what they're looking at. They actually taught it to kick a ball, too, but this is as a goalkeeper. The penalty kick save rate of this thing has now reached a level even better than the goalies in the richest soccer leagues in the world, the English Premier League, for instance, and it's pretty cool to see how it like processes and takes action so quickly. But before you get worried that Alison Becker of Liverpool gets replaced by a machine, a few things. One, it has a better than 80% save rate, like 86% save rate. That isn't with a Premier League person kicking the ball at a billion miles per hour, okay? That is with, like...
It's like, I don't know if they paid the children to take the penalty kicks. That sounds problematic. They had children take penalty kicks against this thing, and it saved something like 80, whatever it was, like 89% of them.
And it's all to scale because they make it so it like can cover the same amount of distances in a much smaller goal. And I don't think the ball is to scale, though, which is weird. But anyway, they're trying to prove a point that the computer brain is able to recognize the incoming threat and then neutralize it, which is, I mean, you can only see how the future of that gets applied when they sell it to the U.S. government.
Yeah, well, when they sell it to the Premier League, right? So so they're going to have, instead of having Alisson in goal, it's going to be this four-legged robotic mini cheetah, as you like to say. And it will... You know, it'll see a shot. A through ball will be played to apparently a robotic forward that can also do backflips off of things.
Of course.
Yeah. And it has a machine gun on its back for some reason. Uh-huh. So a through ball will get played
and
to this robotic.
And this is on the front lines of Ukraine and not in a soccer stadium and bombs and rockets. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, so a through ball gets played in a regular soccer match to a robotic forward. And this robotic forward is, you know, a step offside. And the VAR robot, that the automated an official that sees this happen, video assistant review is what that stands for, they look down and say he's offside. Well, then offside robot gets very upset with official robot, and goalkeeper robot decides to come out and plead their case that as the ball goes past them, that the goal should not count because it was offside. And so now
one of its four robot legs in the air, like no.
Yeah, yeah. And these three, and they're all yelling in Spanish. They're all yelling in Spanish for some reason. And they all of these three robots start fighting, and so then they're robotic teams. And this is how robotic wars between the robot start, and that's how our world ends.
The bad news for right now is that this robotic goalkeeper is still plugged in. So okay. It's
that seems like it's cheating.
It's basically, can this kitty cat stop this toddler?
In the 80th minute, he's through on goal. The goalkeeper, he comes out of his no.
He's been unblocked. Goal. I like that it's like the Lions bot instead of the Lions, like the official, the Lions keep the keeper bot or whatever it is.
Yeah.
At some point, it's going to get that way, right? Like, I was watching the Formula One race, and, like, you know, three guys qualify 1, 2, 3 within, like, a hundredth of a second of each other. They drive, like, 2.5 miles in independent machinery, and they get within a time that I can't stop on a stopwatch fast between one another.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, in order to get closer racing than that, you're going to have robots that have faster than human reflexes. And so...
I've thought about this quite a bit to think, like... So we talk about, like, steroids in sports, right? About how, like, steroids... I mean, as much as you might disagree with them ethically, only one person...
And ethnically. I disagree with any kind of foreign steroids.
I heard they have fentanyl in them. Steroids, you might disagree with them ethically, and they are obviously bad for the bodies of the people who are ingesting them. At the same time, only one baseball player has ever hit the most home runs in a single season, and that person happened to be on steroids. So, like, the fact is that sports, the game itself, is made better by people on steroids. And
not if you're the pitcher, it's not.
Sure. But if the pitcher was on steroids, who knows what they might be able to do. So what I'm saying is, like, at some point, like, to your point about racing, at some point, the best possible performance that you're going to be able to get out of a sport is by watching robots play against each other. I mean, take it all the way down to something as, like, chess, for instance, right? Like, there's all of this debate about, like, people playing against chess robots and, like, or chess AI, for instance. And, like, what happens when you put two AI against each other? Who they all know, like, both of these these machines are supposed to
How about a nice game of tic-tac-toe?
Oh, I mean, this ends up, like, what's your movie that you love? War Games, right? Where it's, way to win is not to play. Well, at some point, like, when the stakes are just who wins in the F1
race. Ali Sheedy's so hot in that movie. It's amazing.
Dude, would you have sex with her in space? So at some point, like, right, all these robots, like, the best possible
War Games, Ali Sheedy for sure. But
okay,
sorry, not wife. Now. Yeah, no. She's
you weren't married back then, though. So
yeah, exactly. I was 7.
Perfect. But so, I mean, like, the game, the sports are going to be played to their best possible conclusion when they are all robots playing. But at the same time, it's like they're all supposed to be, and great, you take out the human element that makes sports fun, which is humans being able to screw up, right?
Yeah, like, the Buckner effect, yeah.
That's what makes sports unpredictable, is just the fact that, like, your favorite quarterback or your favorite pitcher can have a terrible day, even though they're the best in the league. They might have a bad day, which changes the result of the entire game. When you put in machines that shouldn't be able to have that kind of hiccup, right? Or if you have AI that are racing in these machines and everything is the same, every result should be the same at the same time. And so that's what fascinates me, is that if you put two teams of the same type of robot against each other playing soccer or sports or whatever, like, the result should be the same every time, but there's still going to be some unpredictability in it, right? And, like, that's, like, the quote unquote ghost in the machine. It's, like, fascinating to me to think about that, like, someday it'll be more, like, will it be more entertaining that to watch, like, machines play against each other than it would be to watch humans play against each other, when there may still be the opportunity for results to not be predictable, even if it's machines playing against each other. I don't know. Like, we're not there yet, so it's, like, not worth spending your time thinking about, but we will be, right? Exactly.
Yeah. And it will be, there'll be a place for both, I think, because people still like baseball, and baseball is the worst. Like, it's, like, so boring and slow, and there's so many games and no one cares, but then it comes down and it's on the line, and, like, people really get up for their team, and it's fun and it's tense, and it's, you're looking at the pressure for people to make those mistakes. And, like you say, as opposed to just being like, the margin was 1/1000 of a millimeter or whatever, and that's what decided the entire championship over the course of 9 months or whatever. And that sucks, but also there would be something really it would bring its own level to it. And
well, it's like marginal gains, but all of a sudden those margins of marginal gains are even tighter, like infinitesimally small. Right?
But I think we've talked about this before with like battle bots on Nickelodeon,
yeah, exactly,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And like you think that's going to be awesome because they're just going to smash the crap out of each other and you're going to just have like carnage and fire and maybe one shoots a rocket or there's lasers or like, I don't know, like acidic blood or something like that. But instead it's just like two wedges just running into each other until like one of them gets flipped over like a turtle and is like, I can't get up. And you're like, I win. And so at some point, it'll become so efficient that it'll be such stalemates until the tiniest of things happens. Whereas, with humans, like, you know, in hockey it happens a lot where you see boobs against the glass and, like, I don't care what level 22-year-old professional hockey player you are, at some point that's getting in your head if that's your thing, you know? And so, like there's still that, you don't, like, put up, like, 8-bit boobs on the glass and the robot hockey player is like
must download
like it's not like
the AOL like dial up queue starts playing in the middle of, we all know what T-1000 is looking at
line at a time. It's like, So if you were gonna get a tattoo of a robot cheetah goalkeeper, what are you gonna get, buddy?
I think it's I'm getting R2-D2 putting his boobs up against the glass at a hockey game. What about you?
I'll have C-3PO on the ice with like ice skates on, but he'll be rubbing his nips. Golden nipples. I don't think we should be allowed to do the show anymore. I don't know that this is safe at any point. All right, well, let's wrap this thing up. It's time for What Did We Learn This Week? After all, this is a very heady show. By heady, I mean nipply. Like, we talked about robot nipples. We talked about robot alien nipples. Fleshlights. We talked about... What else did you learn this week, Brandon?
I actually did learn that I would love to be able to hear, as you called it, a cool spider burp.
It sounds so awesome. Like, how do you get a microphone sensitive enough to do that, but like focused enough that it doesn't pick up on me being like in the background?
Yeah, in the background. Like,
but it sounds like instead of that noise I just made, it's like, you're like, oh, I can't. It's like so amplified. Like,
What did you learn this week?
Wow. I didn't realize that spiders were so racist, I guess, is one thing.
They hate the leaf, sheep, sea slug.
And I learned that I can do a decent description of something as long as it involves Gary Larson. Are you down to get a random tattoo based on this stupid show? Is that something you would do?
I mean, look at my forearm. Yes, I am.
From another podcast we do, we've got tattoos. I think I owe my kid a service at some point when he's like threatening to get a tattoo to be mean to me. I'm going to send him down and be like, dude, here's the different canvases that you have on your body. Don't screw it up. If you're going to get a tattoo, don't waste it so you look like a dork.
Yeah, you have one shot. Yeah, for that spot on your body, you have one shot. Definitely a leaf, sheep, sea slug.
Every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., we stream live on the Odyssey app. Then get us on demand on the Odyssey app or the podcast provider of your choice. I'm Gregor. He's Brandon. Slugs out.
Slug for Harambe.
Slug life, baby.
Get your slugs out in space.